them 40 days because Sundays don't count. You're allowed to do what you like on Sundays. Isn't that great? They're feast days. Which remember Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness without a rest day every seven, where he reflected on what it meant for him to exercise his ministry as the Son of God. The gospel for the first Sunday of Lent, which is today, is always the temptations of Jesus, which follow his baptism in the river Jordan by John. And the previous week in our cycle is always Transfiguration Sunday. From this point, Jesus resolutely heads towards Jerusalem, knowing what awaited him there. I've been told I've got to find the dog footprint banner. Beg your pardon? In the corner. This year we're marking the season of Lent with a Lenten wreath, and doesn't it look beautiful? Well done. I know you're dreading what's going to happen to this poor thing. But during these weeks, the wreath, obviously being left in a hot church, is going to dry out and die. And that's okay too. That's part of life, isn't it? And each week we're going to do the anti-Advent. In Advent you have the four candles which you light coming towards Christmas. In Lent we're going to extinguish some of the light each week as we head towards Palm Sunday. Our wreath is fresh and lovely this morning, and all the candles of Lee. While I'm introducing this Sunday, and I'll be putting it out soon, and I'll have to see if you can help me find my snuffer, because I'm going to have to blow it out today. But we'll be extinguishing our candles each Sunday in a later part of our worship. So Lent, it's an important season. It's our season where sometimes, you know, it can be as simple as saying, this is one thing I don't want to do. It's a bit like a Christian New Year's, where we've got a community around us that's also doing this. I've actually picked myself up a book of devotionals, really simple devotionals based on dog ownership, believe it or not, but just adding a little something extra to my spiritual life over Lent. Like you, one of the other things is, I don't know if any of you do Lent event, where you decide not to have a coffee each week and you put it towards a good cause. Or you do something which makes a difference for people around the world. And Lent event is one of the ones we support as a uniting church. But there's lots of good ways in which you can consider, what can I do to remember in a very physical way what Jesus did for us? And that, of course, helps us prepare ultimately for the great celebration of Easter. So we come now to extinguish our first candle. It reminds us that Jesus was sent into the wilderness by the Spirit for 40 days and 40 nights to discern God's mission for him. Now I invite you, we won't pray it yet, but it's a heavy prayer, so we'll put the words up on the screen, please, Jim. So I invite you to read that for yourself, and I'll say the first part of the prayer, and then we'll come back to it. So next slide, please. As we extinguish this first candle, we commit ourselves to the Lenten discipline of discerning, of seeking God's will and finding God's will and way for us. Let's pray together. Holy Spirit, sustain us in these days of Lent, as we seek to listen for your will and way in our lives. Give us the courage to face ourselves, to stare down the demons of doubt and fear, and to appreciate the angels He will minister to us your grace and wisdom. Amen. And we'll now hear the anthem from the choir, which is appropriately, "Teach me thy way, O Lord." So let's now hear our Bible readings. Roma.
Reading from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 to 22. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight people, were saved through water. And baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. And turning to Mark chapter 1, verses 9 to 15. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Lord, open our ears to hear your word and our mouths to sing your praises. Amen. I've taken the theme, "Lead us not into temptation." But I thought I'd start with one of the funny bits of biblical criticism I've seen this year. Matthew starts with, "Before I begin, let me give you the genealogy of Jesus so you know this is about a real person." Luke goes, "Before I begin, let me tell you the backstory of everything that led up to this." John goes, "Before I begin, let me explain why it's important to believe that Jesus is the Son of God." And Mark's, "Let's get down to business." There is no prelude. It is straight into it. And you can see that in today's readings. We have in the other Gospels these expansive stories of Jesus' temptation. And in Mark, it's, "And Jesus, and the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him." Don't think you'd say much less, could you? It is very much a potted version, but it's still important enough to be there. So what's going on here? We know, and because we celebrate, it is, we either get to look at the wise men or Jesus' baptism in the lectionary. We didn't look at Jesus' baptism, but as we say in our baptism liturgy, when Jesus goes and submits to baptism, that is scandalous. Why does the Son of God need to be purified? And the answer we can come to is that Jesus is saying, "I stand with you. I stand with all those who consider themselves unworthy of God's love. Here is where I am. Here is my place." And the Spirit then drives him into the wilderness, the other direction, the other side of the River Jordan, for 40 days and 40 nights. We have this great voice from the heaven going, "You are my only Son." And then 40 days, 40 nights in the desert. alone, without food. Not exactly the most auspicious starts. But in some ways, where does the story of the people of Israel begin? In the desert. Desert places, and Anita and I have got far more of a knowledge of this over crossing Australia twice. Desert places are special places. Now, we never got into a stage where we were stuck. We always had water. We always made it to where we were getting to. When we did break down, we were at a tourist attraction. Admittedly stuck on a plateau outside Winton, but there were still people around. We wouldn't have starved. The dinosaur folk are nice. It's interesting in our society where we have everything so comfortable that some of our favourite popular TV shows, more among the young, are where people are shoved into deserts. Whether it be Survivor or I'm a Celebrity, they're taken outside their comfort zones. And one of that reasons is you learn your true self. The desert doesn't care whose child you are. The desert doesn't care what you want for dinner. The desert doesn't care about the pieces of paper you hold. You cannot force the desert to your will. The people who survive in the desert are the people who are willing to submit to the desert. Mad dogs and Englishmen go out in the midday sun. Even Englishmen don't do it anymore. They've learnt their lesson living here too long. Unless they're cricketers. And I see enough people with bits chopped out of them to know we're learning as of that. Too many expensive fights with people with scalpels going on. We, in some ways, that's what the temptations are. The temptations, Jesus, when we have the more fulsome versions, are about you can take control of this situation. You can drive the agenda. You can make all this pain and suffering and difficulty go away. And Jesus says, I am not here to do my will, but the will of the one who sent me. God does not lead us into the temptation, but God does lead us into the wilderness. And the wilderness is where we have to face up to ourselves. Where we have to acknowledge that it's not about us, that it's about God's will. But you're going, David, where's the hope in all this? I thought I'd bring us a quote from The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren. Some of you may have read this over the years. It was a little bit popular. God has never been impressed with strength or self-sufficiency. In fact, he is drawn to people who are weak and admit it. Jesus regarded this recognition of our need as being poor in spirit. And in the Beatitudes, it is the number one attitude Jesus blesses. Blessed are we when we know that what we have and what we are is not enough. He was in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Next slide. The Bible is filled with examples of how God loves to use imperfect, ordinary people to do extraordinary things in spite of their weaknesses. Don't think I need to follow that one up. I hope you're all imagining those stories of those great characters, whether it be Abraham being told you're going to start, or Sarai being told you're going to start a family in your 90s. If God only used perfect people, nothing would ever get done. Because none of us is flawless. That God uses imperfect people is encouraging news for all of us. So we enter this Lenten discipline. We enter this time where we reflect on the fact that in life we often find ourselves in the desert. And you go, where are you, O God? What am I doing here? We live in a society where so often pain is associated with things we've done wrong. Actually, only this morning I was joking around with someone who's feeling the pains of youthful activity. And you had to go, actually, that's a sign of a well-spent youth, isn't it? Or the little bits being chopped off from our days in the sun. Sometimes it isn't from things we've done wrong, but the things that we've done right come with a price. Any of you who carry grief, which is merely the lingering of love after the object of that love has passed away or has moved away. The scars of our brokenness of the road. The message is God loves us. The fact that we have those times is not a sign that we're not good enough, but rather that God wants us to turn to God. God wants to provide for us, but oh so often we want to take control. When you watch those wilderness shows and you see all these, actually I will tell the story I said I wasn't going to say this morning either. There was one of these shows where they had a show for repeat winners. So ones who'd won before got invited back. And they asked this young lady, what have you done special to prepare for this one? And she said, I put 10 kilos on. Because I know I'm not going to get enough to replace my body weight. And my brain needs energy to work. And running round after things is not the way to win this game. As soon as I stop thinking, I start running. I need to stop running. I need to think. I need to work my way through this. So the best way for me to do that is to put a bit of weight on and learn something about where I'm living before I start to go silly. Actually relinquishing control, going, I'm going to have to learn new ways. That's what the desert calls us to do. One of the great blessings we have if we go out, you know, is our stories of our nation. Burke and Wills died of poisoning, partly because they didn't bring their expedition, because if they had a woman, she would have been shown by the indigenous women how to make what they're eating non-poisonous. They ate a flower which was toxic, because it required treatment, but that would work. So the men didn't know how to do it. And in that culture, men mixed with men and did men jobs. People have managed to starve in the wilderness beside sources of food, trying to work. And again, in the story of Burke and Wills, if they wouldn't have shot at people they thought were stealing their possessions, they protected their possessions and lost their lives. Horrible tragedy. But a similar thing about when we choose to try to take control, things can go horribly wrong. So as we go through this time of Lent, it's my prayer that we can say, God, you take control. Saw a great sign on a church billboard once, if God is your co-pilot, you're sitting in the wrong seat. God doesn't want to be our co-pilot. I pray that we may submit, we may learn, and we may thrive so that we can point others to the sources of life and hope and love in this world, which does so often seem like a wilderness to us. Not through our power, but through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And I'd like to lead us in a reflection which isn't from me, it's from another church. So this wasn't written for our situation. But in some ways it shows the situation of much of the church in the Western world, sadly. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, a desert planet. Once we stood by the clear waters, knowing who we were, who the church was, and where we were going. Now we're in the desert, uncharted territory, severe and bleak, but full of Easter promise. The rules are different. The old ways don't work. It's a lonely place and dangerous. There are snakes and scorpions, alien creatures. We've been stripped of our illusions of growth, of plenty, and we're in the desert waiting for God to speak. Turn these stones into bread. The instant solution, the quick fix. If we just change our chairs, change our prayers, fix the roof, put a better sign out the front, then everything will be lovely, won't it? Jesus said, go on, turn these stones into bread. Bread, like the bread used to be in the olden days, in a warm hearth in Nazareth. It was so good then. I can almost smell the yeast. A quick fix and they'll all come back. It is written, you can't live by bread alone. We need more than that in this desert planet. Word, come. Living God, we need you here to tell us what to do. Feed us with your words. We are hungry. Show us the next step. How to be your church in this undiscovered world as we sit in the sand and try to hear you. Jesus said, look, here are all the kingdoms of the world. I'll give you all of this if you just worship me. Maybe that'd be easier. Maybe we should just give up and join the others. Worship at IKEA religiously, or Kylie, or Microsoft, or Visa, or Taylor, or Pink, or the Brisbane Broncos. I believe in the Holy Catalogue Church. You can have it all. Worship me, everything you've ever wanted, at a price. But that price would be too high. Worship the Lord your God. and serve only him. Who else can we turn to? You're the one who gives us life. And though we may be walking in the wilderness, you are here with us. Let us glimpse a burning bush somewhere on the way. This is a lonely planet. He will command his angels. They'll protect you. You needn't even stab your toes. Our attendance has diminished, but we needn't fear. The angels will catch us. Someone else will fix it. We'll leave it up to them. An evangelist with a funny name or the parish next door. The desert is too difficult. So maybe I'll just sleep. Jesus answered the tempter, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." Jesus, help us. It's hard to find the energy when the sand pushes against us, when we stumble in the wilderness, when we can't see the way, when the old signposts have disappeared and all we have are sand dunes. But we know we can't do a quick fix. We can't give up. We can't leave it to someone else. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor." Good news came out of the desert. There is good news. God has brought us here to hear it. And God will lead us to the promised land. Amen.